Okay, so right as we go right to Pesach, so just to get a little bit of a perspective from throughout Chumash on the Chagim. So the Chagim appear four times in Chumash. They appear in at least four. They appear for the first time in Shmos, and I have a chart here to organize right the context of them in each. But the first time it appears in Shmos, Perek Chav Gimel. Pasuk Yud Dalid. So there we hear Shalosh Regalim Dachog Li Bashana, that three times a year you shall have a regal, you shall celebrate for me, and Chag HaMatzot Tishmor, and you'll keep Chag HaMatzot, the which we call Pesach, but Chag HaMatzot Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot Kasher Tziviti Chol Moed Chodesh Aviv. And you'll eat matzot like I've commanded you in the springtime. And you will celebrate in the spring because that's when you left Egypt. And you won't see my face empty because you'll bring a karban. And then in Zion, we have what we call Shavuot. And then you have Chag HaKatzir, right, which is Shavuot, which is when you begin the first fruit are being harvested. And then Chag HaAsif is the harvest festival, is when everything is being gathered in. Shalosh pa'amim ba'shana yireh kol zechurchat et p'nei ha'adon Hashem. And then three times a year, all males will come to the Mikdash. So this is the first time we hear the regalim. And we hear it again in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Yud Chet. El Chag HaMatzot Tishmor, Shevat Yamim, Tochal Matzot, Kasher Asher Tzivitichal, Moed Chodesh Aviv, Ki B'Chodesh Aviv Yatzat Mimitzrayim. Almost identical. We hear the mitzvah there in Pasuk Chav Bet. We hear V'Chag Shavuot Taseh Lecha B'Korei Ketzir Chitim, Chag HaAsif Tkufa Hashana. Shalosh Pamim B'Hashana Yireh Kol Zechorcha Et Pnei Adon Hashem Elkei Yisrael. So the first presentation of the Yamim Tovim that we have in Shmot, in these two places, in Perek Chaf Gimel, in Pasuk Lamed, and in Perek Lamed Daled, the Chagim are referred to only as the Shalosh Regalim, right? The dates given are solar, and the primary mitzvah in each of them is Aliyah LaRegel, right? So one perspective of the Chagim, I mean, what we're really going to try to do in this year is see how the holidays are presented in different ways in Chumash. So there's one way which they're presented, which is solar.
Yeah.
Well, they're by seasons,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Right, they're by seasons, right? They're Chag HaAviv and Chag HaAsif, okay, and Zman Bikurei, right? Bikurei, right? They're agricultural meaning,
yeah,
right? So one perspective that appears is the holidays as agricultural holidays that are. And we're told the season that they're in, right? Either they're in the spring or they're in the harvest season. But we're told on the solar calendar, when are they supposed to be? And the mitzvah described in each of those cases is Aliyah LaRegel. On the other hand, if you look, let's look in Bamidbar Chavchet, right? If you look in Bamidbar Chavchet, Parshas Pinchas. Perek Chav. Chet and Chavtet. It's starting at, let's say, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is where it becomes clear, right? We have first the mitzvah of Shabbos, and then we have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And then, right, so that sets the tone. That once you're talking about Rosh Chodesh, we're talking about the lunar calendar, because Rosh Chodesh means the beginning of the lunar month. And then we get a discussion of the Chagim. So this is, it's, yeah, right, if we start with the Chagim, it's Pesuk Tet Zayin, the beginning of Shishi, Perchavchet Tet Zayin, right, V'chodesh HaRishon, right, here we get a lunar description, right, it's not Chag HaAviv, it's V'chodesh HaRishon, the first month, and the months are all lunar, Ba'ba Asar Yom V'chodesh Pesach LaHashem, U'v'chamisha Asar Yom L'chodesh Hazeh Chag Shivat Yamim Masot Yachel. And on the 15th, so on the 14th day, you bring the Korban Pesach. On the 15th day, you start eating matzah, and you only eat matzah. B'yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh Kom L'Echer Avodah Lo Tasu. And you can't do any malacha. It'll be a Mikra Kodesh. And then it discusses the Korbanot. V'krafte Mishael L'Hashem Parim B'nei V'kar Shnayim V'yel Echad etc. Shavuot doesn't have a date, but the mitzvah that we find in Pasuk Chavav is Uvayoma Bikurim Bakrivchem Mincha Chadasha LaHashem B'Shavuotechem Mikra Kodesh Yelochem Kol Lachav Lo Lo Ta'asu. The Chag of the Bikurim, so you bring the new mincha, you bring the new meal offering, and then Sukkot in Perek Chavtet is again described in the context of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So here we get the lunar the holidays that are all in the lunar calendar. Rosh Hashanah on the first day of the seventh month, that's Pasuk Aleph through Zion. Then Pasuk Zion is V'esor L'chodesh HaShvi'i is Yom Kippur, which is the 10th day of the 7th month on the lunar calendar. And then in Pasuk Yud Bet, we get Sukkot. V'chamisha Asar Yom L'chodesh HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh Yelochem Kol Melecha V'radol Lo Ta'asu V'chagotem Chag L'Hashem Shevat Yamim. And in this presentation, we don't get, we have no agricultural component to it at all, and we have no solar component, right? It doesn't talk about the season. It discusses the Chagim from the vantage point of the months. So we have one presentation of the Yom Tovim as agricultural holidays, right? The Shalosh Regalim, they're described to us in solar terms, in terms of seasons, and the mitzvah in that context is Aliyah L'Regel. We have another presentation in which the holidays are listed as, without any agricultural context. The main mitzvah is the Korbanot. They're all described simply in terms of their dates on the lunar calendar. And in that context, we discuss not just the Shalosh Regalim, but we discuss the Chagei Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because when we're talking about every holiday that's on the lunar calendar, so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur get linked with Sukkot, because on the lunar calendar, they are connected agriculturally. They're not. They have no connection whatsoever, because they're not agricultural holidays. In Dvarim Tetzayin, which is in Parshat Re'eh, so then, just like we did in Shmot, we hear about only the Shalosh Regalim and not the Chagei Tishrei, and they're described only in terms of their seasons, in terms of their solar holiday. And there again, we hear the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel with one addition. The only addition that we really have in Re'eh that we didn't have in Shmot is the mitzvah not just to enjoy the holiday yourself, but to bring other people in to enjoy the holiday with you. But just to look at just to look at the example of Sukkot, for example, this is the end of Parshat Re, Perek Tzayin and Dvarim, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chag HaSukkot Taseh Lecha Shevat Yamim. You make Sukkot for you for 7 days. Bas Becha Migarnecha Migvecha. When you gather in your produce, V'samachta V'chagecha, and you will rejoice, but not just you. Atau V'incha V'itecha V'avdecha V'amatcha V'alevi V'ager V'yatom V'almana Asher B'sharecha. You should rejoice, you and your children and your servants, and the Levi, and the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow who are in the gates. So Dvarim and Shmot are very similar presentations. And then the last one that we have is Vayikra Chav Gimel, which is Parshas Emor, which is what we're really up to. In Parshas Emor, we get a mixed perspective. Perek Chav Gimel starts with the Moadei Hashem, right, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Moadei Hashem asher tikru otam mikrai kodesh, elehem moadai, sheshet yamim ta'asa melacha, uveyom ha-shvi'i, shabbat shabbaton mikrai kodesh, kom lecha v'odah lo ta'asu shabbat hi la'ashem b'chol moshevotechem. So first we find out about Shabbat, and then we get the Yomim Tovim. Elehem moadei Hashem, mikrai kodesh asher tikru otam b'moadam, b'chodesh harishon b'arba asar l'chodesh, b'in arbaim pesach la'ashem, v'achamisha asar Yom lachodesh hazeh chag matzot laHashem shivat yamim matzot tochilu. Bayom harishon mikra kodesh yelochem kol lechad lo tasu vikraftem ishe laHashem shivat yamim. Bayom hashvi mikra kodesh kol lechad avoda lo tasu. So in the context of Pesach, we don't hear about the agricultural laws, but in the context of immediately following Pesach, we find about the Omer, which is an agricultural law. Right, which connects Pesach to Shavuot. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Amarta lehem ki tavou al haaretz asher ani noten lachem, uktzartem et kitzirah, vaveitem et omer reishit kitzirchem el hakohen. Right, that starting from Pesach, from the second day of Pesach, you will start counting the Omer period. Right, and then Pasuk Tetvav tells you the count, right? First, well, first we learn about the Karban, and Pasuk Tetvav we learn about the count. It's Fartam Lachem Mimacharat HaShabbat, Miyom Avichem Et Omer HaTnuva, Sheva Shabbatot Timotiyena. And then the same thing happens with Sukkot later on, where we hear both about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. We hear about it from the perspective of Tishrei, but we also hear about the fact that it's Chag HaAsif, about the agricultural component. So if we just sort of take a step back and look at what we have in Tanakh, we have two very different perspectives of what the Yomim Tovim are. Right? One perspective is the Yomim Tovim, the Regalim, or agricultural holidays. Right? Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot exist on one axis, distinct from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they're agricultural holidays. Pesach is the beginning of the season. That's when you bring the Karban Omer, because it's the beginning of the reaping of grain. Then you count from there to Shavuot, when you're going to bring the next agricultural Karban, and you're going to start bringing the Bikurim as well. Right? You're going to start by bringing the Omer on Pesach and the Shealechem on Shavuot, and you're going to bring the Bikurim starting at Shavuot, and then you're going to count, and then from there, four months later or so, you'll have Sukkot, which is the Chag HaAsif. That's one perspective. The second perspective that you have on Yomim Tovim is the not the agricultural perspective, but the calendrical. Yeah, the religious perspective, the calendrical perspective. Right? We have holidays. Right? We have holidays in Tishrei. We have holidays in Nisan. We have holidays in Sivan. We have holidays, you know, Derabanan in Adar and in Kislev. We have fast days in Tammuz and Av, right? Every month on the lunar calendar gets its holidays. And in each of these perspectives, you get different mitzvot. Sometimes the mitzvah you hear is the mitzvah of Alila Regel. That's the mitzvah that you hear in the two times that the only presentation is solar, is seasonal, is agricultural. Right? In Shmot and Dvarim, when we're talking about agriculture, so we find out that the main mitzvah is Alila Regel. In Bamidbar, where we group together all the holidays based on simply their dates on the calendar, the mitzvah we hear about is Karbanot. And in Vayikra, uniquely, we hear about the local mitzvot of each holiday, right? Bikurim, the Shtehalechem, the Omer, and those, right? Not the mitzvot that are similar across Yomim Tovim, like L'Regel, but the unique mitzvot. So the question really is just how do you take, right? What is the purpose of holidays, right? We have all these, right, different presentations where they're focusing on different things, but what exactly is the perspective on Chagim that Tanakh is trying to get across? So here, right, this chart was from Rabbi Liebtag, and what he notes is, right, what we've sort of seen, right, the complexity by looking at the Psukim, is that each holiday has what he calls a double dating, right? It's actually dated twice, right? It has, right, two different times of year, right? So Parshat Emor, he writes, like Pinchas, presents the Chagim in order of their lunar dates, meaning the month and the day. Nevertheless, Emor is different. As the following citations show, when introducing the special mitzvah to be performed in the Mishkan and each of the Shalosh Regalim, the agricultural season, meaning the solar date, is mentioned as well. Right? Chag HaMatzot is related to Mitzvah HaOmer, which has to do with the first time that you cut the grain. Shavuot is connected to Mitzvah Shteh HaLechem, right? The first of the wheat that you bring on Shavuot. And Sukkot is connected to the Arba Minim, which is also agricultural. Right? You're taking the Esrog, you're taking the Lulav. In fact, look carefully and you'll notice that Parshat Emor presents the agricultural aspect of each of the Shalosh Regalim independently. For example, the agricultural mitzvah to bring the Korban Omer and the Shtealechem is presented in a separate dibor that makes no mention at all of a lunar date. So he notes that even though it's true that in Parshat Emor we hear both about the agricultural component of the Chag and the other parts of the Chag, the non-agricultural parts, they're actually separated in the Psukim. Right? It's as if each Chag gets multiple mitzvot. Right? Pesach has one dibor that has to do with the Karban Pesach, and then gets another one with its connection to the Karban HaOmer. Similarly, the mitzvah of Arba Minim is presented independently after the mitzvah of Chag HaSukkot is presented in Perek Chav Gimel. So the right, especially in Emor, right, in Shmot and Bamidbar and in Dvarim, we have the Chagim presented either by their agricultural dates, by their seasonal dates or by their date on the calendar. It's only in Emor where we, right, combine them, that they get both an agricultural date, an agricultural mitzvot, and that they get solar dates, meaning agricultural dates with agricultural mitzvot, and lunar dates, meaning just dates on the calendar that relate to the Karbanot, that bring them into conversation with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, so what seems to really be going on, and then we'll come back and analyze it sort of, but let's, you know, get the main idea out, is that it seems to be that there are two functions of the Chagim, right? Whenever we think of the Chagim, we tend to focus on, shall we call, the lunar perspective, right? I mean, the date perspective of the holidays. Now, what does that mean? And when we think of Pesach, how do we think of Pesach? It's... right? It's when we went free from Mitzrayim. We think of the date because we think of the historical perspective. But when you say that you're celebrating a holiday on a certain day, what you really mean is you're commemorating that day. You're commemorating what happened on that day. So we celebrate Pesach because that's when we came out of Mitzrayim. We celebrate Shavuot because that's when we got the Torah. We celebrate Sukkot for whatever reason exactly historically, right? We commemorate the having left Mitzrayim in Sukkot. Whatever that means, it's possible that also commemorates a specific historical moment. We all sort of have heard that Sukkot is either the Sukkot that we lived in or the Anane HaKavod, but there is actually a third position in the Midrash, which doesn't appear in the Gemara, which is that Sukkot doesn't refer to the Sukkah that we live in or the Anane HaKavod, it refers to the place, Sukkot, because the first place the Jews went when they left Mitzrayim was Sukkot. In which case, what?
No, nothing with that. I'm just going back to Pesach. But Pesach has an additional component because we remember it every day. I mean, it's
right. Obviously, we commemorate it differently each day, right? And the difference between, right, what is the connection between the way we think about it all year and on Pesach is part of the whole question of how do we experience Pesach. But Pesach we experience as the historical, you know, reliving of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Shavuot is the reliving of Matan Torah. Sukkot is the reliving of either living in the Midbar or actually just that first moment when we went into the Midbar and lived in the place called Sukkot. And that's one aspect. That's really the aspect that we think about. You think about our tefillot. Our tefillot focus on that, right? Zman Matan Torahtenu, Zman Chirutenu, Zman Simchatenu. But historically, the holidays had another component, which was the agricultural component. And this wasn't unique to Jews, right? Pagans also had agricultural holidays, right? Now, for them, they were actually worshiping the gods of those seasons, right? When you needed rain, that was when you did the rain dances and you played to the god of rain. And when you needed things to grow, so you prayed to the fertility gods because they made the land fertile. In different points in the year, they had agricultural holidays. Well, the Jews also have agricultural holidays for the same logic, just, you know, as a corrective. I mean, just like the ancient world, the pagans needed near different parts of the agricultural season to daven to the pagan gods, we needed to turn to God and say, well, we recognize that there's only one God and he can provide for our harvest and he can make sure that we'll have food and therefore we celebrate and we thank him on Pesach and we thank him on Shavuos and we thank him on Sukkot as we are bringing in the harvest. But by linking the holidays, right, what we're really doing is we're reshaping our perspective of the holidays. Because like I said, the whole ancient world had agricultural holidays because they believed there were forces in the world and that for each part of the agricultural year, you needed to daven to the god of rain, the god of fertility, the god of whatever to make sure that you were successful when you harvested and when you planted. But they didn't necessarily believe in a historical god, right? A god that across history had a relationship with people. When you can't do that if you believe in a pantheon, right? So one god is more powerful now, one god is more powerful later. And you think about the pagan stories, the ones in the ancient Near East are less famous, but, you know, they had the water god Baal was very powerful and he defeated Yam, right? But, you know, they have these all these stories of how the world came to be, right? There used to be a super god, and then the super god was killed. There's god Tiamat, and then the world is recreated from the body of Tiamat, right? So gods aren't historical, because they can die, and they can be reborn, and they can become ascendant, and they can become powerless. And by taking our historical holidays and not making, like, separate days, because what we could have done is say, look, you're supposed to celebrate, just like the pagans celebrate the agricultural holidays. You should celebrate agricultural holidays, but you should direct it to God. And therefore, every spring, have a holiday celebrating the beginning of the planting season. And every summer, celebrate the beginning of the harvest of the fruit. And then in the fall, celebrate the full harvest and thank God. You could have done that. And then you could have said, well, Pesach will be Tetvav Nisan, whenever that is, and you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, sort of the way the Muslims do it, right? Tetvav Nisan would be Pesach, and then whatever. If it's in the spring, it's in the spring. If it's in the fall, it's in the fall. Like Ramadan, which slowly moves through the year, right? Because they only have a lunar calendar. We could have done that, right? We could have said, you should have agricultural holidays based on the lunar calendar, and then you should have historical holidays based on the... other way around. Should have agricultural holidays based on the solar calendar, based on the seasons, and then historical holidays based on the lunar calendar. And if the solar calendar is 11 days longer than the lunar calendar, so slowly, sometimes Pesach will be in the fall, sometimes it'll be in the spring, sometimes it'll be in the summer, big deal. But if you did that, so then you would get the notion that on the one hand, we thank God for being the God of history and for helping us through history. And on the other hand, we thank God for being the God who provides for us every day and provides for agriculture. But then those would be two separate ideas. If you left it as two separate ideas, you couldn't get across the real sort of novelty of monotheism, is that the God who helps us through the everyday is the God who helped us through history. The only way to do that is to do what we did, which is create a hybrid calendar that ensures that even though the lunar calendar should rotate through the year, like the Muslim calendar, because of leap years, we keep it in line with the agricultural seasons so that we celebrate the agricultural holidays at the same time as historical holidays. So what does that do? That means that every Pesach, we do two things simultaneously. We celebrate the beginning of the harvest season, the beginning of spring, and we recognize that God is the one who's providing for us, and that we're going to want food, and we're going to want to be successful throughout the year, so then we're going to need to turn to God. But we also celebrate that he took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore we make a statement that the same God who functions through history is the same God who will provide food for us. So we insist that we will only celebrate the agricultural components of Pesach at the same time where we think about the historical perspectives of Pesach. And the same thing is true of Shavuot, that we commemorate, even though this is never in Chumash, we commemorate Matan Torah at the same time that we commemorate the beginning of the right fruit harvest season, right? This man of the Bikurim. And Sukkot, we commemorate whatever exactly we do, we commemorate some part of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim while we're celebrating the end of the harvesting season. We thank God that we've been given enough food to last through the winter. So, yeah, if you turn to the second side of the page, to the historical holidays, right, this is how Rabbi Liebtag summarizes it, right? He says, even though the agricultural calendar alone provides sufficient reason to celebrate these holidays, the Torah finds historical significance in these seasonal holidays as well. Just as the Torah employs the solar date of the Chagim in relation to the agricultural mitzvah, the Torah also employs the lunar date of these Chagim in relation to their historical significance. One could suggest that specifically the lunar calendar is used in relation to the historical aspect, for we count the months in commemoration of our exodus from Egypt, the most momentous event in our national history. One could suggest the celebration of our national redemption, specifically in the spring, emphasizes its proper meaning. Despite its importance, our freedom attained in Yetziat Mitzrayim should be understood as only the initial stage of our national spiritual growth. Just as the spring marks only the initial stage of the growth process of nature, right? So Liebtag adds, it's not just that we're combining, well, you know, let's skip to what he said in the next paragraph and we'll come back to this. He says, by combining the two calendars, the Torah teaches us that during the critical times of the agricultural year, We must not only thank God for his providence over nature, but we must also thank him for his providence over our history. In a polytheistic society, these various attributes were divided among many gods. In an atheistic society, man fails to see God in either. The double nature of the Chagim emphasizes this tenet, that God is not only the force behind nature, but he also guides the history of nations. Man must recognize God's providence in all realms of his daily life, by recognizing his hand in both the unfolding of our national history and through perceiving his greatness in the creation of nature, right? So like we said, he suggests that the reason that each holiday has this double nature is described as an agricultural holiday, but is then combined with a historical holiday, both in the lunar, so to speak, and solar calendars, is to bring these two elements together, that God is not just the God who provides for us in is not just the God who provides daily. He's the God of history, and he's not only the God of history, he's the God who provides daily, and we bring those together. In this middle paragraph, he adds, right, that perhaps it's not just bringing them together, but perhaps they shed light on each other. He says, one could suggest the celebration of our national redemption, specifically in the spring, emphasizes its proper meaning. Despite its importance, our freedom attained in the Yetzias Mitzrayim should be understood as only the initial stage of our national spiritual growth, just as the spring marks only the initial stage in the growth process of nature. Just as the blossoming of nature in the spring leads to the grain harvest in the early summer and fruit harvest in the late summer, so too our national freedom must lead to the achievement of higher goals in our national history. Thus, counting 7 weeks from Chag HaMatzot until Chag HaShavuot, meaning Sfirat HaOmer, emphasizes that Shavuot, commemorating the giving of the Torah, should be considered the culmination of the process that began at Yetzias Mitzrayim, just as the grain harvest is the culmination of the grain process that began in the spring. So on the one hand, it could be, right? So, well, at one level, we're celebrating both agricultural holidays and historical holidays. At the second level, we're celebrating specifically at the same time to emphasize that the God of history is the God of nature. And the God who guided us through history, through Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, is the same God who provides our food in the spring and the summer and the fall. But the third element is that they may actually parallel each other in a certain way, right? That the connection to Pesach and Shavuot on the agricultural calendar is that it's the beginning of the planting season, which leads to the eventual reaping in the summer, and then the final reaping in the fall. But the way the Chagim are, historically, is the same way. Pesach is the spring of our nation, right? Where we first planted the seeds of our nation, then summer, which is when we got the Torah, was the first level of culmination, was the first stage. We started collecting, so to speak, the first fruit of our national history. And then Chag Shavuot, which is really when we harvest everything, is representative of coming into Eretz Yisrael, right?
Sukkos?
What? Sukkos. 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 Yeah. Wait, I said Pesach again?
No, you said
Shavuot. Shavuot again? Okay. Hey. Sukkos, right, which is the end of the season when we harvest everything, right, which emphasizes whatever you want to say, the connection to Eretz Yisrael, coming into Eretz Yisrael, represents the end of the, or the continuing process of the development of the Jewish people. And there seems to be this constant sort of relationship between the agricultural cycle of the holidays and the lunar cycle, which don't just exist as two different models, but influence each other and teach us something about the other one. Now, these two perspectives also, as Rabbi Liebknecht notes in the middle here, affect how the holidays are referred to. So when we talk about the, right, in Parashat Emor, when we talk about both, so we have titles that relate to the lunar component and the solar component, to the agricultural component and the historical component. So he notes that when we're talking about the historical component, we refer to the Chagim as Mikrae Kodesh. And in that context, Shabbos is also called one of the Mikrae Kodesh, which makes sense because there's a, right, Shabbat is one of the, right, it's just a holy day, right? The lunar component is a ritual historical recreation of a historical event. We'll show a Shabbos. Right, Shabbos is a historical holiday, so to speak, of God's resting on the seventh day. So the Yomim Tovim at the level that they are historical commemorations are connected to Shabbos, and that's the level of Mikrae Kodesh. But in, let's say, Shmot, when we're just discussing the agricultural component, the Yomim Tovim don't get connected to Shabbos at all. Right, because the Yomim Tovim have elements of them that are Shabbos-like, right? They're sanctified, they're connected to a historical event, and then they have elements which are, you know, not connected to Shabbos, where they're connected to simply the, right, the solar calendar, to the agricultural year. And as you look through the Pesukim, you see these different clues. Also, the mitzvot that appear in each parsha emphasize the different elements. So if you look at the chart at the beginning, right, in Shmot, when we're only talking about the solar component, the agricultural component of holidays, so the main mitzvah we hear about is Aliyah LaRegel, because Aliyah LaRegel is fundamentally an agricultural celebration. Right, the beginning and the end of the agricultural season, we have to go up to the Beit HaMikdash, and there's an agricultural karban that's related to it. Right, we bring Bikurim at starting Shavuot time. We have the Surim of the Omer that are related, which we'll learn about later, but that are related to the agricultural season. In Bamidbar, we only talk about the lunar component, right? The ritual components of the Yomim Tovim. And there we hear not just about the Shalosh Regalim, but also about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So there, the mitzvah we hear about is the Karbanot. This Karbanot has nothing to do with agricultural, it has to do with ritual law. And therefore, on the level of Karbanot, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are grouped together with the Chagim. On the level of the agricultural law, the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are meaningless. They're not on that axis at all. They don't commemorate. They don't represent an agricultural milestone of any sort. In Vayikra, when we combine the lunar and solar perspectives, the agricultural and the historical perspective, that's when we learn of the unique mitzvot to each holiday. Because the unique mitzvot of each holiday try to capture the double elements of the holiday, right? The arba minim represent the uniqueness of Sukkot. At one level, they represent the end of the agricultural season, but they have all types of symbolic meanings that relate to Jewish history, right? You know, all the midrashim that focus on the fact that arba minim are different types of Jews, which all accepted the Torah together, right? They have all these, right, ritual and agricultural meanings. And I think when you just take it together, right, just sort of, you know, summarize it and break it down, right, the Chagim function at many different levels, at different places at Chumash, right? At one level, the holidays are ritual holidays, right? They commemorate specific historical events. We bring Karbanot on them. At that level, they're part of a larger system. They're part of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, right? Which all are holy days. They're all holidays where we, right, serve, we worship God, we bring Karbanot, we do ritual things, we have Isra Malacha, we do all types of things that show that this day is a special day, that we set it aside for God. That's one perspective. The other perspective on Chagim is that they're agricultural milestones, that as we reach the spring and as we reach the summer, as we reach the fall, we thank God and we say, yes, you gave us the ability to plant, you're giving us the ability to harvest, you support us. We bring those together by celebrating them always at the same time, by having leap years that keep the lunar and the solar calendars running together, such that Pesach, even though Yitziat Mitzrayim has nothing to do with the beginning of the planting season, fundamentally, we always celebrate together to remember that the historical God is the same as the God of nature. And therefore, we keep these two elements of the Chagim together by always celebrating Zman, the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right, the time we became free during the spring, and Matan Torah in the summer, and whatever exactly Sukkot commemorates in the fall. And then taking that even one step further, it's not just that we commemorate the two together, but they actually, in certain ways, symbolically reflect on each other, right? That once we say that we're always celebrating Pesach in the spring, which is the beginning of the planting season, which then connects agriculturally to Shavuot, which is the beginning of the harvest season, we're also saying something about the historical component, right? That it's as if the Jews started planting our historical narrative at Pesach when we first became a nation, and we started to reap the first fruits of that when we got to Shavuot and we got the Torah, and that continued, and then later on in the year, we have the full harvest. with all the connections of Sukkot to Eretz Yisrael. There's a culmination of it, right? So it's not just that we celebrate together, but they actually metaphorically reflect each other. The last component of this, though, is the just the last point I put here on the, that Lutik put in the chart, is the question of when you rejoice on these holidays. Do you rejoice by yourself, or do you rejoice with others? And he notes that if you look, right, it appears in Dvarim, right, that mitzvah, that when you celebrate Aliyah LeRegel, you don't only celebrate yourself, you celebrate with others. It makes sense that of the two components of holidays, the one that gets the most emphasis on that component, that you don't just celebrate yourself, you celebrate with others, is the agricultural component. The historical component, okay, I mean, what does it mean to celebrate Rosh Hashanah with other people, right? You're going to celebrate the Yom HaDin with other people. That's a very personal experience. Or Yom Kippur, it's a very personal experience. And even if it isn't, right, Pesach and Shavuot are national experiences. But what does it mean? Why would you have to celebrate with somebody else, right? If you decided fundamentally that you wanted to, I don't know, every year to commemorate that we became free, you wanted to have a fast day, right? You wanted to use it as a new year, just like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? From the perspective of history, that sort of makes sense. But from the perspective of agriculture, right, you can't celebrate Pesach by fasting and saying, I remember that God took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore I'm committing myself to Him, and I'm going to spend the whole day davening and fasting like I do in Yom Kippur. You have to celebrate with the produce. It's an agricultural holiday. You have to eat, and you have to have the fruit and vegetables of the holiday, and you have to have a celebration, right? This is what was always done historically, right? It's American Thanksgiving, right? When you have your first, you know, harvest, so then you have a celebration. But when you're celebrating an agricultural holiday, right? That specifically, you're celebrating food and your abundance of food. And you're saying, thank you, God, for giving us food. Well, at that point, you can't turn to God and say, well, thank you so much for giving me so much food, and I'm not going to share it with the people who you didn't share the abundance with. Right? So specifically in the context of the agricultural perspective of Yom Tovim, that's where God has to remind you, by the way, what does it mean to really celebrate the agricultural holidays and really recognize that God gave you enough to survive? What it really means is to give to others as well. If you really mean it, you really mean that you're thanking God for the abundance He gave you, well, then you can't celebrate by yourself. You have to give it to others. Now, the truth is that it comes up a little bit in the context of Shabbos in Shmot Chav Gimel. Shmot Chav Gimel Pasuk Vav does imply that even on Shabbos, you should care about others. If you look there, right, we in the middle of our social justice laws, right? Lo tate mishpat evyoncha birivo, right? Don't twist the judgment of a poor person. Midvar sheker tirchak v'naki v'tzadik al ta'arog ki lo atzik rasha. Right? Don't lie. Tell the truth. And then pasuk ched is lo tikach shochat. Right? Is don't take bribes, and then in Pasuk Tet is Ger Lo Tilchatz, Vatem Yidatem Et Nefesh HaGer, right? Don't treat the Ger badly, Ki Gerim Hayitem Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and then in Yud, V'sheishanim Tizra'i Aratzecha, V'asavta Et Tfuata, V'ashivi Tishmetenu Nitashta, V'achlu Avyonei Amecha, V'yitram V'tochal Chayar HaSadeh, Kein Ta'aseh Lechar Mechal Ezeitecha, and then you get the law of Shemitah. Then the seventh year, you have to leave the food for the poor and for the animals. But then in Pasuk Yud Bet, you get Shabbos. That on Shabbos, not only do you have to keep Shabbos, but your animals have to be given a chance to rest, and your servants and the stranger. So while it's true that primarily the reason that the Chagim have such an emphasis on helping others is because it's an agricultural holiday, it's a time to celebrate our abundance, so we should give food to the people of less of an abundance, Shabbos, which has no agricultural component at all, also gets linked into social justice and helping the poor. It seems to be the reason that's true is because even though it's true that primarily the reason that we have to help the poor so much around Chagim is because we're celebrating our abundance and we're celebrating God's gift to us. As we talked about last week, there is a historical reason why we help the poor as well, which is Gevurim Hayitem Be'eretz Mitzrayim, right? Our historical narrative may not naturally tell us to help the poor in the same way that the agricultural holidays do. And the agricultural holiday is like a natural time, right? When do you give, and you think about it, right? At the end of your tax year, right? When you're figuring out exactly how much money, right, you owe and how much deductions you're going to get, that's when you start filling out all your, right? What is it? I forget what it is. Like, it's like 50% of all charitable donations are in December, right? Because that's when you're making accounting. It's also because that's when you get your deductions. But right, it also happens to be that that's when you're thinking, how much money did I make this year, right? And how much taxes am I going to pay? And, well, I might as well share it with others, right? Well, Chag HaSif is like that. That's the most natural time. It's you're collecting everything into your house, so now you're making an accounting. How much will I use for myself? How much can I give to others? But at a secondary level, our historical narrative also tells us to help the poor. And that's why it's not the primary one. It's not the primary mitzvah. But as we saw last week, and you see here in the context of Shabbos, even the historical elements of Shabbos and the Yomim Tovim should remind us to be better people, should help the unfortunate ones, because our historical narrative also points in that direction. So I just think that's the, right, that if you look through Chumash and you look at the different perspectives at how the Chagim are presented, you realize how much is going on in each Chag, right? In each Chag, you're celebrating at one level the fact that throughout the year, God grants us our basic needs, right? We're no longer an agricultural society. We don't feel it as much, but the basic lesson that God provides our basic needs is still true. At a second level, we're thanking God for our history. At a third level, we're acknowledging that that same God who guided us through history is the God who provides us on a daily basis. At a fourth level, we're metaphorically understanding how just like in nature, things slowly progress and slowly build, and you reap the benefits that you planted at the beginning of the season, at the end of the season. As a nation, we did the same thing. We planted the season Pesach, and we reap them on Shavuot and on Sukkot. And then at a fifth level, we remember that the holidays aren't just times to celebrate for ourselves, but from the agricultural perspective, we remember that just like God provides for us, we have to provide for others. And even at a historical level, we have to remember that our historical story, our narrative, is one which is supposed to teach us empathy and teach us to understand the plight of those who are unfortunate, and is also supposed to motivate us to help the poor. And therefore, while primarily the reason that Yomim Tovim are such a good time to help those who have less than us is because it commemorates the times of abundance, right? It's less true in a non-agricultural society, but it's a time to celebrate abundance. At a secondary level, our historical story, at each moment when we say, oh, this is who we are, and this is how we became who we are, we're also obligated to pay particular attention to those who are less fortunate, because that's who we are, and that's how we became that nation through the historical events that we commemorate on the Chagim. So those are just some of the ideas to keep in mind as we enter Pesach. On that notion, Chag Kasher V'Sameach.